Welcome to Intentional Mamas Podcast. No matter if you are a mom or will be one someday, this is a fun way for girls to get together and dive into spiritual growth in ourselves and our homes. To learn more, check out the Intentional Mamas Facebook page, the Root Bible social media pages, or at rootbible.com. Now, here is Pastor Kate Richter.
This week, we are discussing, and all this semester, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is cool, since I have this. How many of you have the Bible app? Okay. If you have kids at home, they have Bible app kids. Okay, the Bible app on the phone. Now, there's something even cooler. Since I'm holding my phone, I can share with you that I got yesterday, which is, it's how you can memorize a verse. It's so super cool and an easy way to do it. So let me see. I can find it. Verse Locker. Okay, can you see that little app there? Everyone needs to download this. It is free. You need to have your older kids download this. You need to do this. And what's neat about it, it's a free app. This is not an advertisement, I promise. I just believe your only weapon is the Word of God, of which the sword of the Spirit is. And so how can you engage the Spirit of God to be your defender, to be your protection, to be everything that the Word says that it is, only with the Word of God? So memorizing the Word of God renews your mind and allows you to align with what God says is true, not what the world says is true, what you're experiencing by your five senses, right? So check this out. Let's start memorizing. You can choose verses. You can choose whole chapters. It does fun games like taking away certain words. So we're going to share this with our families because they can do it with the meditation verse that goes with the series. And they can learn it by playing games and having the spaces empty. And yes, it's free. And so again, we get no kickback for this. I just wanted to share that with you because your kids memorizing scripture from a young age is crucial. Okay. The word is the only thing that can transform us. It's the only thing that will transform us. What's that mean? It will take us from being old us to new redeemed us, the word of God. All right. Back to the fruit of the Spirit. Here, he's responded to me. So, you know, I've got to say, all right, got that fixed. Welcome to life, right? So the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when I say fruit of the Spirit, and I asked the kids at this in class, they had their new notes, which they get in the discussion area. Remember, all classes on rootbible.com are free, including this one, Intentional Mamas. And those in my class where I see them face to face, when we stop this class, we go and have real questions and real discussions. So that we can get feedback and learn from each other. So when I brought the new notes and the new verse out to them, I said, how many of you hear fruit of the Spirit and you think preschool lesson? Okay, we really dumbed down the understanding of the fruit of the Spirit and the way that the Lord uses in his word seed, time, harvest, growth, and the example of fruit. Many, many times throughout his word. So if you take your Bible app and you search the word fruit, go ahead and do a personal study of that. Find out what it says. Do it with your kids. Because in the discussion area, and you can also find this at Root Bible Academy on Facebook, there's a PDF. And that PDF has cards that you can take one at a time of fruit-based scriptures and have the kids trace them, write them, and draw them. So it's a really cool resource, and it's totally free. And it doesn't matter how old your kids are. The fun thing about drawing a verse is it makes you have to really meditate on it and allow the Spirit to bring it to life. Because you're like, draw the verse. What does that mean? Well, it's simple to like drone your mind out when you are just writing, right? I can write something, go back and go, what did I write? Okay, now you remember 60% more than you didn't write down, but you can kind of drone out. Now, if I have to draw something I'm reading, that changes a few things. I've got to sit and concentrate on each word and how that word would be portrayed in picture. So go check out that free resource, okay? Because your kids doing that is really important. you doing that. I like to do it alongside my kids so we can meditate on the same verse and talk about it, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring it to life. Now, you joining us on Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube, as you comment, I'm going to come out and try to find these as I bring up scriptures. If you want to put them in there, that helps anyone that's coming in a little late to catch up on what we're talking about. Now, I thank the Lord for fruit. And when you look it up, going back to that, you're going to discover how much he says, how much he talks about him being the vine and we're the branches. And when we're connected with him, we'll bear abundant fruit. Now, I love when Jesus goes up to the fig tree. He's with the disciples. And this is used all the time because it precedes, if you say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, it will be done. If you have what? Faith is a mustard seed. So preceding this, Jesus is walking with his disciples down a path and he sees a fig tree. This fig tree, it's not in season, what we would call in season. Okay, so it's not like the season for figs is what some translations say. And because it's not the season for figs, you would expect naturally not to find figs on the tree. However, Jesus goes out of his way to set an example. So he goes to the fig tree, was disgusted that it didn't bear fruit, and told it to dry up from the roots. What is that giving us an example of? That's giving us an example of not bearing his fruit, which he says, be ready in season and out of season. There's never a time that we get a free pass because we've decided to lean into our emotions. Things are difficult right now, or whatever it is that the enemy would have us through our emotions and our reasoning justify. The Lord is setting an example for us that there is never not a season to bear his fruit. Why is that? Because if you are rooted in the vine, when is there not life available? When? Never. Life is in the vine. If you're rooted in the vine, then you're going to be producing fruit. And then he goes on to say, if there is an area not producing fruit, meaning it is not connected with the vine, what are you to do? Cut it off. So if there's an area that the Holy Spirit highlights for you that is not stemming from the life of God, it is not directed by the Spirit, it's time to lay it down. Now, why do I say that? Because we have kids that we can teach this as normal life now. Okay? All right, we're connected to the vine. Are we supposed to be thinking this about this person? Okay, right, we're connected to the vine. Are we supposed to be participating in this sporting event? Okay, we're connected to the vine. Is this the way that life treats its sibling, its parent? Okay, so you start to notice that pre having to cut things off, right? Adults, we have things that the Lord's like, hey, this is not rooted in me. Get rid of it. This is not tied to me. Cut it off. But we can raise our children in our home to never root other things outside of Christ. To be genuinely, from the time they give their life to God, moving, living, and having their being by the Spirit of God, which then produces the fruit of God. Remember, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. So if there's areas in your life that are not glorifying God, that are not bringing about what we're about to read, they need to be cut off. And we can use this example given to us in Galatians 5:22-23 as a plumb line. A plumb line that God says, when you are led by my Spirit, these are the fruitfulness that you will experience in your life and others will witness. Okay? It's not because you try to. It's not because you're struggling to. It's not because you have decided that I'm going to attempt to be these things. No, it's because you live a surrendered life tied into the vine, which produces life, and the spiritual fruit that comes from being tied into the vine will be these things. Now, if anyone in your home is not experiencing this, if you're not experiencing this, then it is not originated in the Spirit. This is what we just talked about this week with a main focus on love and joy and their real definitions. Because boy, I don't know if there is Well, you know what? Actually, the entire list I'm about to read you is under fire by the evil one in society today. So let's go ahead and look at it. Because this list will help you set your plumb line for your home, for your children, for your own heart, and for your spouse. You ready? Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Now try to hear this through fresh ears so you're not just going, oh, I heard this one time in preschool, or my kids sing this song at home. It's so cute, right? Your flesh tries to dumb down the power of Scripture because of its familiarity. You do not want to be so familiar with Scripture. Now, there's a difference between memorizing it and being familiar with it. You don't want to be so familiar with Scripture that it no longer has value to you. You know, sometimes kids are so excited to get something at first, and then after they've had it for a while, they're familiar with it, and so its newness has worn off. That's why the Lord says His word is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Because it's alive, it's always molding, developing, changing, and living as you intake it. It's alive. It's not grown familiar with. Even when you're meditating on the same verse, our kids have experienced this, our youth have experienced this in the month, then it forms newness of life inside of you as you meditate on it. It doesn't become familiar unless you're just doing it with your head. It becomes life when you're doing it with the Spirit. So here we go. All right, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. I'm going to read this in the Amplified version. Thank you for putting it in chat. I appreciate that. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. Whose presence accomplishes this? The Holy Spirit. So again, right here, we're removing flesh, the five senses, the reasoning that you can do this alone. No, you cannot do this apart from the Holy Spirit. It is love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is described as an even temper or forbearance. Kindness, goodness, which is benevolence. The word actually for goodness here is liberally giving. So very generous. Faithfulness, gentleness, which is true humility, not the world's version of humility. Self-control, which is a restraint or a countenance that allows self-governing. Okay. Now the word self in there throws some people off, like you've got to do the hard work of it. No, you've got to surrender and let the Spirit do it. You will want to get angry. You will want to binge on food. You will want to be lazy and watch Netflix all day. But if you surrender to the Spirit through self-governance, the Spirit will lead you out of that. Okay. That's what that's talking about. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. Now, what's that mean? What I love about that is we do fruit police, okay? My son, my 13-year-old is making a video for it. We call it the fruit police because the enemy that's going around like a roaring lion looking for who he may devour, he is looking for those that don't produce spiritual fruit because he knows they're not tied into the vine and they're able to be accused because he's the accuser of the brethren, and guilt and shame and confusion are up for grabs because they are not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so who can tell? God can tell, and the enemy can tell, and the world can tell if you are producing spiritual fruit. Now, we went over this in class because we want them to understand that your fruit you bear is what your reward in heaven is tied to. Your fruitfulness will determine whether or not Christ Himself knows you. Now, we compared this to just a few semesters ago, we went over the gifts of the Spirit or the endowments, or we like to call them the tools or abilities. The word gifts is not in the word. His tools and abilities, like prophecy, healing, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all of those wonderful endowments that allow us to be operating by the Spirit to set others free. That is one of the reasons it's been given the word gifts, right? Will pass away. In fact, in the Scripture, God says Jesus would stand before someone saying, I prophesy in your name. I healed the sick in your name. And he would look for fruit, not see it and say, go away, I never knew you.
Why? Because gifts are without repentance, which means no matter how someone chooses to live, even if they cut themselves off from the vine, they still can operate in those gifts by the Spirit. What? Yeah, because God's word is still being preached. People are still being healed. But when it comes to the final day of standing before the Lord, he's not going to look for gifts. He's not going to look for works. He's going to look for fruit. That's what he's going to look for, just like Jesus did on the road. And he's not looking for it in season or out of season. And the only way to identify it is that you're actually connected to the vine. Ah, Emily, I love you. Thanks for being on. How mind-blowing is that? So here are the gifts, but that's yet not how he'll identify you as his own. So same Spirit. He'll identify you by the fruitfulness of it, not the gifts you operated in. Mind-blowing, right? All right. So fruit check. If you checked your life and we're reanalyzing that list, would you say you're operating and producing the fruitfulness of the Spirit within you? Okay, so now we have the ability, this is fruit police, to go, what am I detecting? What am I seeing? And what am I not? And the Bible says we can be responsible for cutting it off ourselves so he doesn't have to. If there is a branch in your life not producing fruit from the Spirit, if it is not Spirit-led and producing these things, it's time to cut it off. Now, pause. Some of you might be thinking, my kids aren't producing peace. My kids aren't producing joy in me. No, no. The outward things are not what produces inward fruit. Okay? Write that down in your notebooks. Outward things, experiences, encounters are not what determine our inward spiritual fruit. That's why we can see all throughout the word, Jesus, Paul, Peter, as they are experiencing hardships put on by man. We're not talking about health hardships. We're not talking about financial hardships. We're talking about the things put on by man. As they're experiencing these things, their fruit remained unchanged. They did not adjust their spiritual guidance or their peace, their kindness, their benevolence by what was happening outwardly. Because I don't know about you, but if you examine Jesus' life in the Gospels, there weren't many times that things are, you know, clicking right along, going well, that he's not being questioned, that he's not being attacked, that he's not being lied about, that he's not being sought after in a negative way. From his birth, okay, from Herod wanting to take him off the earth until being put on a wooden cross. And yet his fruit is present the entire time because the fruit is produced by the Spirit within you. Not by outward experiences, not by what man can do to you. Wow, that takes a lot off your shoulders, right? So we know that that's tied into surrender. That means I'm not negotiating right or wrong. I'm not deciding how I love someone by the flesh. Remember, last class, we judge no one after the flesh any longer. That means I don't get to decide what's good and bad. That means I am not my own, and whose I am and his Spirit within me will determine what's right to do. And because I'm allowing him to determine it, I have complete what? Let's see here. I have complete love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, and the ability to bless on every occasion, faithfulness because nothing else matters, pure humility, self-governance, because I don't do what I want to do. I do what the Spirit within me wants to do. And because of that, there is no law that the enemy can come and bring against me as the accuser of the brethren, giving him access to my life. What? I don't see fruit and freedom from the enemy being tied in very often. Do you? We see fruitfulness or the fruit of the Spirit being tied into preschool lessons, kindergarten, maybe, and never brought alive because the enemy has tried to dumb down the pure power of surrendering to the Holy Spirit and witnessing the fruitfulness of that. So powerful. All right. So the fruit of the Spirit, know it and grow it. But guess what? I don't know about you. I'm growing some fruit trees. One is a jackfruit tree. We just put in a strawberry tree. We have some mangoes up front. You know, when I'm walking by these trees that are what they have been created to be, I do not hear them going, you will create a mango. I don't care how you feel. You will be a mango producing tree. You don't hear the strawberry tree giving itself a pep talk of who it can be. It naturally produces what it is created to be. You see, when you became new in Christ, when your children became new in Christ, you were given access to an entirely new nature. Okay, before Christ, you had the nature of the fallen angel, Lucifer. You were under the dominion, the power of sin, death, and destruction. Even though you could choose good, you could choose to try to follow the law. The Lord gave us outlets for sacrifice, that blood sacrifice that was in the spiritual realm, giving us freedom from sin for a short time, right? You could learn from the Ten Commandments what was right and wrong and aim to do these things, right? But it was all produced by yourself under the dominion of sin and darkness. Now, when you were given a brand new nature, you're going to, if you surrender to that nature, naturally be led by the Spirit and produce His fruit. Sometimes we overthink this. We overcomplicate it, don't we? Like, you know how that happens? Because you want to live one foot in the world or your old nature and one foot in the kingdom of God and your new nature. When you try to do that, you create lukewarm living and confusion on every level. When you are confused, I guarantee you, you will not surrender to the Spirit and bear good fruit. He cannot, because remember, the fruit is from the Spirit. What's the Spirit there to do? The Spirit is there to guide you and lead you in the purposes and plans that God has for you. So you're in season. You have a new nature, and it's all tied to the Spirit of God inside of you. It's all tied to our children and the Spirit of God inside of them. And if they don't have access to His voice and His leading, well, then you're going to be that access until they do. And they're going to see you check in with the Holy Spirit on decisions going forward. They're going to see you checking in, being led by the Spirit in every area. Not, I feel like doing this. I think we should do that. Our friends are doing this. Everyone's going here. No, they're going to see your new nature says, I don't grow some world fruit and some God fruit. I surrender to the Spirit of God and produce His fruit. How do we do that? How do we remain in that fruitfulness? Well, we do what He says do. It's so good. You know, right before our fruitful list, he gives us a very clear list of what is the world. So if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law of this world. But if there are parts of your life where you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then lawfully, by spiritual law, the enemy has an access point to be the accuser of the brethren and have a right to affect that area of your life. Now, does that change your dominion, your new nature, your fruitfulness, your authority? No, all of those things are still yes and amen for you. But if you make the choice to exit those things, Psalms 91 says, you exit your dwelling place in that area. Well, then, since we're still in a fallen world, because the enemy is under our feet, but not completely put to shame and in his permanent dwelling place, well, he is the prince of the air. And when he witnesses an opportunity given to him, and there's no repentance, there's no leading of the Spirit in that area, well, he's going to take it. And that's where you'll have confusion. That's where you'll have strife. That's where you'll have bitterness. It's where you'll have the opposite of the fruitfulness of the Spirit. So wake up the fruit police and let's start analyzing, is this the Spirit of God? No, it's not, because I see no fruit in this area. Cut it off. All right, so, but if you are guided, this is going up to Galatians 5:18. But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to law. Now, doing practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. So what is it? The flesh wars against the Spirit. That's what the Word of God says. So what he's trying to portray here is if you go with your flesh, you're going to be warring against the Spirit. Can the Spirit produce fruit while you're warring against the Spirit by being led by your flesh? That's a negative. Okay, God made it so clear for us. Let's not muck it up, right? Let's not muck it up for ourselves, for our kids, for our spouse, for our homes, for our communities, for our churches. He made it clear. So now the doing and practices of the flesh, thank you, God bless you too, are clear and obvious. So are they hidden? Is this like a secret? Would you not know if you are doing things of the flesh and not the Spirit? No. He's telling you right here, you know, so quit it. Knock it off. You know, because they're obvious. They are immorality, impurity, and indecency. And you're like, well, we're not that. I'm not indecent or immoral. Well, let's keep reading. Idolatry. Gosh, I wish I had the time to look up every single one of these in the Strong's Concordance for you. Idolatry, sorcery. So you're, you know, second one in, you're like, I'm good. You know, I haven't messed around with sorcery lately. Well, you know what it's talking about there? Witchcraft of any sort. Horoscopes. What do people do? Tarot cards, crystal balls, Ouija boards. Okay, sorcery. Idolatry is going after something that God's not asked you to go after. You've replaced what he has you to focus on with something you want to focus on. Idolatry. Enmity, strife. Oh, wait, we're getting into things that people might be like, oh, strife. You know, we just taught in our church on the demonic and how it influences our life and wants to remain unaware so that it can continue to chip away at our foundation of faith and keep us from walking in victory. And a couple in our church was talking about every time they would go in their garage, they would fight because it was like his stuff, her stuff. Where's there room for anything anywhere? And literally bad things would happen. Well, after this class, she goes, Lord, I sense anything but you in this garage. And the Lord revealed a demon that was allowed to have dominion in their garage because of what we just read, enmity and strife between her and her husband. They repented, which gave them the right to have authority again, cast that thing out. That garage is clean and she is able to pull her car in. You're like, Pastor Kate, that's so simple. No, it's knowing what the Spirit of God is saying, and it's knowing the wiles, the trickery of the enemy. Because he has no power over you as a child of God, he will try to trick you and gain access where you don't yet have knowledge, where you don't yet have your mind renewed to know that this is him and you have authority over it, and that you are not fruitful in this area. He comes in and is like, ha ha. Let me just teach you, you know, it's okay. You just always argue over the garage. Ha ha ha. Funny. Make a meme about it. Laugh about it and pretend I'm not here. No, they got exposure to understanding that strife opens the door to the demonic, which right here in Galatians, before we go into understanding the fruitfulness of the Spirit, he's laying out for us. And does he say they're hidden? No, he says they're obvious. All right. So idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Oh, this list gets a little closer to home the further down we get. Flesh, if you're operating it, will be jealous. It will create strife. It will get angry and have a short temper. Did you know a short temper is an open door for the enemy every time? If you use the spirit of manipulation, which is likened to witchcraft, and you get angry to get your way, you're short-tempered, like bleh, blow off the handle, that's demonic. It starts in the flesh, and then you open the door for the enemy. OK, Okay. There are spirits at play here. The Holy Spirit who can fill your temple, produce fruit, and give life and life abundantly is available. But you are the one who chooses to surrender or to follow the flesh, which wars against the spirit. Selfishness, divisions, dissensions, meaning my way, your way. Remember, Paul addresses this when it says, well, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Theolos. Like, he's like, no, one God. We've all got roles to play. What are you talking about? Stop the division. Stop my way or the highway. Let's find out what God's saying so we can be led by the same one spirit. Divisions, dissensions, party spirit. Okay? We were... The Lord just cut me off. There are people that call themselves Christians and like to have keggers. Like to always give opportunity for partying. Okay? That is the flesh. And it literally is a spirit that he points out to you that comes in by the flesh. Factions, sex with particular sex, not sex, sex, like factions, like these people are rich, these people are poor, these people are knowledgeable, these people, right? So dividing people up like that. Peculiar opinions and heresies. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So all y'all that want to get saved and be given a new nature and continue to live in the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we have a great teaching on the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. You need to know the difference. But the kingdom of God, that is goodness, fruitfulness, life abundantly, being led by the Spirit, his gifts, his fruit, that will not be your inheritance, even though Jesus died to give it to you. Because you choose these flesh things. Will he still love you? Yes. Did he still die for you? Mm-hmm. But he's telling you ever so plainly, this is not your new life. This is not my nature. This is not why Christ died, so I could live this way in the flesh. Why? Because I'm just returning to the old nature. Someone says, that's serious. It's not that they receive less gifts in heaven, but they might not get there at all. Okay, if you're denying the kingdom of God being alive in you on earth, how would you not deny the kingdom of heaven coming back and taking authority? How? You know, when Jesus comes for the millennial reign to sit on the throne for 1,000 years, people will still deny him? What? What? Okay. This is life or death, guys. When you see this list, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about life or death. We're talking about the kingdom of life or the kingdom of darkness. This isn't a preschool lesson. This is a child of God, light or darkness, life or death lesson. This is getting serious, giving a list to the church in Galatia saying, listen, it's not hard to figure out. This is flesh and it's obvious, and this is spirit. And then he goes into, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which we just read a little bit ago. And those who belong to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh. Who has crucified the flesh? God? Jesus? No, you and me, we crucify the flesh so that the Spirit may produce that fruit in us. We crucify the desires of the flesh. We crucify that list that we just read. We are led by the Spirit to recognize when things are of the flesh, and we cut it off. We're the ones that crucify the flesh. Stop asking God to do what he asked you to do and has given you the power to do. Okay? So those that belong have crucified the flesh and the godless human nature. Which its passions and with its passions and appetites and desires. And you're like, oh, Pastor Kate, I can't do it. I keep doing the same thing. I keep falling in. My kiddo wants to get over this, but can't. Yes, he can. Get the word. get out the fruit police. If it doesn't do this, then we're cutting it off. If cutting it off didn't work, then we need to go further back and find the source. Is it the kids you're hanging out with at soccer? Well, let's check with God if we were ever supposed to go into soccer. Oh, that seems too easy. No, it's not. It is obvious. You find the source. Is it something you've been watching? Oh, that was an entrance for the flesh to give way to the enemy? Hey, don't you think we should pray about cutting this off so that it's not allowing our flesh to take preeminence over the Spirit of God leading us? Yeah, let's cut that off. Oh, it just got so easy. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Write that down. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Do you hear the word surrender there? I do. Yeah. Okay. You use that word a lot. You're right. I do. Because you surrendering to the Spirit is the only way you can walk out anything in faith. If you're trying to do it in your flesh, you will fail every time. The flesh is weak, but God is strong. Now, when you look at your kids, you need to understand that too. Their flesh is weak. So there might be times you as a parent need to be the one cutting off the access to the flesh. Don't let your kids listen to anything. Don't let your kids watch anything. But take them on the path to seeking God, being led by His Spirit to make those decisions. Don't let them just say, because mom said so. No, because we're going to go and look at this list. And we're going to go to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to control our conduct. What's our conduct? The way we live, move, and have our being. The decisions that we make. So who's going to lead that? Our flesh, our feelings, our emotions, our infinite human wisdom? No, the Spirit of God. Our homes can be led fully by the Spirit of God. No, you're going, well, what happens if we mess up? Or repent. Dig the seed up, say you're sorry, repent, and move on. He says, if you say you're sorry and repent, then you can return, get the Holy Spirit's instruction, and charge ahead. He's given us that ability. What's repent mean? Turn, stop doing it, cut it off. God forgives you, forgive yourself, and move on. All right, last scripture in Galatians 5. Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. Isn't it so funny? He's got flesh at the beginning, Spirit in the middle, and a reminder of what flesh looks like at the end. Let us not live that way. Why? Because that's not how the world will know us or see us. Oh, yeah. You can have them. You can have them start. Okay. Yeah. That was the text I got earlier. We have someone here to look at our ADT system. Welcome to life, right? Okay. So he finishes with a reminder. Do not let the flesh rule and reign in your church. The church at Galatia. Galatian church. Galatia? Is that right? Someone typed that. Am I saying that right? Okay. Why? Because apparently the flesh was ruling, reigning there. So he's like, okay, this is obvious. And this is what the spiritual fruit looks like. Get in line. Get the Spirit to allow Him to control your conduct and quit all this irritating and provoking each other to wrath. That is not my kingdom. And those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't want my family not inheriting the kingdom of God. I love them dearly. These eternal beings I've been given, and you probably feel the same way about yours. Well, the only way to do that is to continuously teach them to be led by the Spirit so that they can allow the Spirit to produce His fruit in them and through them. That's how the world will know us. Oh, what time is it? Woo! Is time going fast or is that just me? All right. So why? Why the fruit? The world is going to identify you by it, and so will God. Galatian church. Thank you for typing that. Okay, so how do we know that? Matthew 7:16. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He's like, constantly, you guys, you have got to download the PDF that goes over all the fruit scriptures of the Bible and how he talks about fruit. I love that God chooses the things that we wouldn't see as powerful or extravagant and uses those things to show his purity and his gentleness and that he and his power is enough, because you don't think of like a peach or a mango or an apple as powerful, right? And yet he says the world will literally identify you by your fruit. He uses that as an example to show you, like, you and me as one, the world will notice because of my spiritual fruit, his power and our weakness, his spirit, not our flesh. I just love it. So if you didn't get that, Matthew 7:16, I'm going to open that up in the Amplified. Why do I like the Amplified? The Amplified allows me, without opening my Strong's, to see a few of the other words that have been used to describe or be translated into what we know as the scripture. So in Amplified Classic, it says, "You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles?" So this one actually is a less comparative. Let's check this one. Ooh, I like this one. The Passion Translation, which he takes the straight from the Greek and translates it. "You can spot them by their actions, for the fruits of their character will be obvious. You won't find sweet grapes hanging on a thorn bush, and you'll never pick good fruit from a tumbleweed." You're like, oh, that just seems so obvious, Pastor Kate. You're right. There's that word obvious again, first brought to us in Galatians in this class, and now made obvious by Jesus in Matthew. He's not trying to hide things from you. He's not trying to make things difficult. Now, you do have to decipher by the Spirit. Remember, spiritual things are discerned spiritually. So when you try to make sense in your mind, you're like, oh, I don't have an apple growing from my body. You know, if you would take natural things for natural things, you're not going to understand. But when they're spiritually discerned, when we help our kids spiritually discern these things, you are going to be able to help them do what God said, and it says, judge them by their fruit. What's that mean? To be judgmental? No. It means to be able to call out a fruitfulness thing in one area and speak truth if the fruit is lacking. That's love. Love speaks truth. So now I'm going to be able to identify your actions by the fruitfulness of it. What's that mean? Spiritual fruit. Don't try to go making it something it's not. It's talking about that list we went over in Galatians 5:22 through 23. You're going to be able to identify if they're producing spiritual fruit in that area. And if they're not, you're able to speak truth into their life, led by the Spirit, that they may know and have the control to cut that area off, surrender it to God, and start walking victorious in that area. Also, what's walking victorious? The spiritual fruit starts producing without all that, oh, I'm trying so hard to be patient. No, I surrender to you, Lord. I know that your plans are bigger than mine. I know that I don't want the right to my own opinion. I know that your peace is perfect in every situation, and I refuse to think any different and allow myself to be worked up. Surrender. You do the same with your kids. You know, there are a lot of kids today that struggle with rage and anger. What do you think that spirit is? It's first allowed in the flesh. You go back further to a source. It could be from things they're watching, hearing, experiencing. But it is a first of the flesh, finding the enemy, then a gateway to use the law to be the accuser of the brethren and have access by spiritual law into your kiddo's life. Cut it off. You have the ability to help them understand this and cut it off. That does not have to be their identity. Their identity is not the works of the flesh. Their identity is their new nature in Christ. Phew, I get excited about this. I don't know about you guys. So we went in a little deep. I'm already running out of time. We went in a little deep about love. Why? Because our world has made a hot mess of love. You know, it used to be we could teach this class and just go, I love pizza and I love God. You know, English language has dumbed down the translation of love and allowed us to use the word love when we're talking about our computer and when we're talking about the creator of the universe. Well, we used to be able to just have that. Aw, thank you. You have a blessed day too. But nowadays, love has been completely twisted into a pure humanistic feeling and emotion. totally led by reasoning of what I think love should be, without God even being in the talk, who he himself is love. So now we have a world that wants to identify love by any way possible, in infinite human wisdom and reasoning, emotion and feelings, minus God. It's impossible. So you see death, destruction, and loss overtaking our youth, overtaking society, the medical community, because they start to think that love is allowing a four-year-old to think they know what to do apart from the leading of the spirit and a mind that has been fully developed. You know, you start to have people say love is letting anyone do anything they want or feel. What? No, that's not how God defines love. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but you should truly want to have greater gifts. Here it is, the 9 gifts of the Spirit that we went over last semester, those endowments, those tools, those abilities that we've been given the minute the Holy Spirit comes in and makes us his temple. And now I will show you the best way of all. What's fun about this? A man thought it was a good idea to end the chapter there. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But we go into chapter 13, not being limited by the end of the chapter, that cliffhanger. And we go on to read, I may speak in different languages of people or even angels. What's he referring to here? Tongues and interpretation of tongues, pulling from those abilities and those tools of the Spirit. But if I do not have love, I'm only a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. How many of you... This is a story about myself. I got saved in a hospital room. They thought I was going to not make it. I was in a hospital room. Priests and pastors stopped in. I wasn't really interested. And then one day, a light appeared in my room, and I wrote a poem about my experience. And I knew that I had encountered the Lord, but I didn't know what that meant, if that even makes sense. So my mom had started going to a church, and within their churchianity, they were doing the best that they could. And she made me go to youth group one day. And when I went into youth group, and listen, this church operated in prophecy and in speaking in tongues. Every week a lady would get up and blah, 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 and someone would interpret it. And so they were operating in the tools of the Spirit. And so I went there and I went to youth group, and these were, by all natural definitions, the cruelest group of people I'd ever met. They were cliquey, they were unkind, they were mocking, they were, I had been in the world up to this point, and I've met mean people, you know, whatever, but I went in there and thought, you guys call yourself Christians? Like, it just blew my mind. And I told my mom, I was like, I love the Lord. Whoever I met in my hospital room, I love him. But I know that what I just experienced in there is not him. So now we have a church full operating in the gifts that we're doing it without what? Love. It was literally a noisy bell or crashing cymbal. What does that mean? That means between earth and heaven, heaven is not registering those things. That heaven cannot register what is outside of love. Why is that? Because God is love. That's why you can operate in the gifts, be outside of love, and Jesus himself not recognize you. Because though they are without repentance and you can do them, love is not negotiable. God is love. He loved you enough to send his son to redeem you, to have you enter into a covenant between him and his son, to see his son when he looks at you, to fill you with his very own spirit, to recreate you, buy you back with incorruptible seed. Love is not an option. But what is love then? If it's not the ooey gooey feeling, if it's not love is letting my kids do whatever they want. Love is letting my kids decide if God made them right at age 7. Love, no, what? Love is loving a woman enough to tell her it's okay to kill an unborn baby in her womb. No, no. So we've screwed the word love up so much that we've forgotten what it even means. So what does love mean? What does love mean? I have it on here somewhere. I've got to write it down because I don't want to mess it up, because love.
Well, we could read it right out of the 1 Corinthians, and then I'll give you the definition. You ready? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 2. I may speak in a... Or sorry, not that. 13, the one everyone calls the wedding verse. Do I have it written down, or did I just share it by the Spirit? All right, what is love? Where is it? I thought I wrote it down, but we'll just look it up. 13:1 is where we'll go, right? And we'll just keep going. But I thought I had it printed out for you so that you didn't have to watch me do this. You're welcome. Oh, here it is. Look, another sheet. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is. And what you're going to see from this list is it's awfully similar to spiritual fruit. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Okay there. We could just start at that list, couldn't we? Be patient, honey. The Lord will show you why he made you this way. Hey, don't be jealous that it looks like someone else is living the life that you want. The Lord has a purpose and plan for you, hasn't been laid down, and it's not theirs. It's yours. Hey, don't brag. Don't be boastful. That same spirit that operates in you operates in them. So if we brag after God, not after our own ability. Oh, we just made that list really simple, didn't we? And it's not proud. Pride is the ultimate cause of disrupting love in your life. That you have things figured out, that your kids think they have things figured out, and now they'll step outside of God, who is love, because they have reasoned that they are smarter or wiser. Okay? Don't allow your kids to be wise in their own eyes. Turn to the word. Verse 5, love is not rude. Woo, we could get that today. It is not selfish. It means I don't have my own plans and my own way. I don't have the luxury of being rude because God, his spirit, is my lead and does not get upset with others. Okay, Pastor K, that's impossible. Is it? Jesus can hang on the cross and say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Then guess what? You can live not getting upset with people. Right now, we have people that really don't like us because of the message that we preach and the decisions that we make led by God. And they are making very high school-like maneuvers and gossip and whatnot. And we love them. And that can only be done by the power of God. We're not upset with them. We're upset with the actions, with the choices. But our love for them is straight from the Lord. And it's awesome when you are just dwelling by the leading of the Spirit, not in protecting yourself, not in being prideful and I have to defend myself, I have to stand up for myself. No, that's not love. Jesus didn't even do that. He stood up for the Father. He didn't even stand up for himself. Paul, the same. Love is not rude. Love is not selfish and does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Uh-oh. That family tradition of talking about Aunt so-and-so who did this so long ago and don't trust her. Guess what? It's gone. Love doesn't do that. Love wants the best for that aunt, prays life over that aunt, prays scripture for that aunt, rather than doing what the flesh would want to indulge in and somehow boast that you are so much better than that aunt, because obviously you have never messed up. Uh-oh. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices over truth. How can you do that? Doesn't it seem like someone who's rejoicing over truth is taking pleasure in those that are dwelling in evil? No. It's saying my heart goes out to them and I want to see them free. And I rejoice in the truth, so that's what I'll speak over them. That's how you can bless your enemies. Love patiently accepts all things. What's that mean? Oh, I'm just going to accept that you're a boy and call yourself a girl? No. It means I accept what's going on in this world without negotiating the truth that I'm founded in. It always trusts, always hopes, and always endures. What's that mean? The Lord trusts us and we trust him. That doesn't mean you have to trust people all the time, but you trust God, not people, without wavering. You always remain in hope because hope is unfailing and is a groundwork for faith in every area. And you endure. What does that mean? Jesus, how long must I endure you? He would say this to the disciples, and yet he endured. Okay? You might be like, okay, I'm done with this, but you endure because that's what love does. And it never ends. God himself does not have a creation date, nor does he have an end date. Love never ceases to exist. Love never ceases to be able to have access to. Real love looks different than what this world says love is. And that's what we focused on this week. Well, let's take that into the church. Is this love? Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Well, it's worship and it's aligning your heart. But if you worship like that and turn around and disobey and aren't led by the Spirit and allow your flesh to do what Galatians laid out for us, is that love? No. No, it's not. Love obeys. Love is led by the Spirit. Love does what God says. Jesus himself says, you'll show me you love me by obeying my commands. You're like, that's not love. That's bossy. No, he loves you so much that he's given you an avenue that while you're in this world where the prince of the air is the devil, you have a way to live in victory. And by trusting, you obey. And because you do, you can walk in victory. You see, love gives commands that keep you safe. We see this. We talked about this last night. If you're not in our Easter reboot class, I tell you, watch the replay. We'll upload it on our website, rootbible.com, soon. But you can watch it now at Root of Revival on Rumble. Okay, we talk about the covenants that God continued to insert, looking for a faithful man that would trust him so God could bless and love his people and ultimately work through his people to defeat the enemy once and for all. Love wants you to obey commands so you can walk in everything he's provided for you by his blood. That's how you show love. That's what love is. John 13, 35. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. Okay, they had some disagreements. They started to disagree on how to do church and which way to go. And he's like, listen, this is how the world is going to know that you are the real deal. By prophecies? By speaking in tongues? No. I lost five people with that singing, probably. I love you, Lord. because people want to think that's how they love the Lord. They want to live any way they want in the flesh. As long as they go in and worship, hopefully you don't sound like that they're fine. Because, you know, they sang the three songs on Sunday, and now I can live any way I want. No, that's not love. All right, so how's he going to know you? By your love. Now, did you like this lesson? Do you like the reality of it? Guess what elementary, junior high, and high schoolers are also getting? This same lesson. So they can know now what God's love is. They can know now what the fruitfulness of the Spirit is in them. They can know now how to hear God's voice and be led by his Spirit. They can know now that they can memorize scripture and allow it to be the tool, the sword that the Spirit uses to defend anywhere the enemy would try to come in and bring a lie. The wiles of the enemy. They can know that now. So listen, if you're listening to this, you have kids, no kids that are not yet signed up for these free classes, what are you doing? You have this amazing tool available to you. And listen, tell them it's a class. This isn't an entertainment. The classes are fun, but this isn't for their entertainment. This is for them to grow in who they are. This is them to learn self-discipline by the Spirit and sit and receive what God's got for them, just like you're doing now. Because I'm sure no one out there is multitasking. You have a notebook, a pencil. All right. Pushing it too far, Kate. Then we went on to talk about joy. I'm not going to talk about that today, but just in short, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Joy is not affected by external situations, just like love is not. Happiness is affected by external situations. Joy is by the Spirit. So no matter what you're going through, joy can be your source. In fact, it can also be your strength, the Bible says. So knowing that you have access to joy is a kind of a big deal, because that strength in our weakness is really important.
So I'm not going to go into it because we're out of time. What we talked about in class, you can go back and watch the replays of class on rootbible.com under Fruit of the Spirit. But right now I'm going to pray over you before I switch over to the live class where mamas are waiting with questions. And listen, this is where the rubber meets the road. We find out, how do we actually take this and apply it in this area I'm struggling in, Pastor Kate? In this area my kiddo is struggling in, Pastor Kate. And we get to talk it through with the Spirit and find real solutions. So that's over at rootbible.com under Intentional Mamas class. And we get to see you face to face and tackle these with the Spirit with you. So I'm about to head over there. I'm going to pray for you now, and we will see you next week. Don't forget to check out the podcast. We're going to have fresh updates soon for the 7-Minute Seed and the Root Bible podcast, and we're so excited to get those going again. I tell you what, we're believing for those being led that will not only partner with us financially, but might have time to maybe come and upload podcasts for us, do what's needed to get this material out there, because we do it all for free. And we want to see generations, every age, because there's no age limit in the word, impacted by the power of being Christ and Christ alone and living that way. So I'm going to pray over you, and we'll see you next week. Share, subscribe, like, do all that stuff. Beat the algorithms, beat the enemy out there, and let's get this message in front of those that really need it and need to understand that this is a life to be lived apart from the flesh. Father, I thank you for everyone that is tuned in here. I thank you for those that are helping put scriptures in and are making comments. I thank you for those in class that want to take their families deeper in your word and in their identity in you, so that they can be led by your Spirit in every area. And I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you highlight now in them, not later, now, areas that need to be cut off, that have been flesh led for too long. And I ask, Father, that by your Spirit, you reveal not only what it is, but how to cut it off, because you tool us in every area. Thank you for that, Lord. Father, where there is strife, I ask that you highlight it and allow a humble spirit to come on those that where that has ruled and reigned, and allow them to repent and see it uprooted, never to return again, as they surrender to your Spirit in all things. Where kids in homes are having anxious or anxiety issues, Father, I ask that you highlight by your Spirit how to uproot that now in Jesus' name. Get it out and help those children be rooted to your Spirit, which is peace and life and love, that they would experience what you have provided for them, Lord, and show the parents exactly how to help them walk that out. Cut it off. And your words are powerful. This is what I hear the Lord saying. Your words are powerful. Get the word of God in your mouth and speak it over your home and your children. Thank you, Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding is resting on homes as they rely on your word and lay down, crucify that flesh, that their conduct will be led by your Spirit, and they will have the best week they've ever had from this point on, in Jesus' name. Until we meet again, let this seed take deep root, let the enemy have no place of uprooting it, and allow it to become life and light in their life, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are a blessing. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You are a child of God, and you have a purpose and a plan to walk out that no one else can. The only way you're going to do that, and the only way your kids are going to do that, is to be led by His Spirit. So let's do that. Let's familiarize yourself with His voice. Let's get in our word, and let's encourage each other to stay on the path that He has for us to be on. Blessings. See you later.